Just trying to process in my heart just what God has been ministering to us and what I have on the page here. And not that I'm trying to force it together, but I do see a connection. I see a connection. I get this picture of our reception at our wedding. At our wedding, we had a reception at the Sheraton Fallsview, and it's no longer Sheraton Fallsview. I don't know what it's called now. But the auditorium was split in two, and people in the other section have a great party, I think. But the music was being poured into the speakers in our room as well. And so it's not just that it was coming through the wall, it was actually coming through the speakers. I don't know how comfortable you are with even just what was ministered there at the end. Wanted to be age appropriate with the kids and that, but the intimacy that God wants with us, it's quite incredible actually. You go back to understanding that God created everything exactly like He wanted to create it. He created everything for a purpose. He created everything with reason behind it, and it paints a picture. And so when He created man and woman, created us man and woman for a reason. And when He created us to increase and multiply, and this is before sin entered the world even, you know, the way that that takes place, how to be fruitful and multiply, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose, the way He made it. And for a man and a woman, a husband and wife who are covenanted together, to come together in physical intimacy and procreate, but not just to have children, but also to have the enjoyment of each other and to have that intimacy, that celebration of love in such a way. You understand that God made it the way He made it for a reason. And I know that we don't talk about that very often, or at least I never grew up talking about that, and definitely never heard anyone even hint towards that in sermons, and yet you understand that God painting a picture. He could have created us any which way he wanted. We see his abundant creativity throughout all of creation. And so he could have come up with something. I mean, even you know, worms, you cut them in half, you got two worms that are living, you know. He could have done any amoebas, they split in two, and you just have two amoebas all of a sudden, you know. And he could have done it any which way. And he chose for a husband and wife, a man and a woman who are covenanted together, to come together in physical intimacy for reproduction, but also for celebrating each other and for pleasure, even for joy. And what picture is he painting? All of a sudden he shows us later in Scripture that Jesus is the groom and we are the bridegroom. The church. I mean, sorry, he is the groom, we are the bride. He's the bridegroom. All right, got that. And so when you get a song like that, and I don't know what that person was thinking necessarily, but that's just the picture that came, like when the hug or when the intimacy is so tight, and just this embrace. So it's not the faraway embrace and patting on the back, you know. I love you. Now go away, you know. It's this all-out embrace. If I could have longer arms to wrap my arms around you even more, I would. And just this drawing close where there's nothing in between. There's no sight in between. And there's this oneness. And there's this union. That is God's love for us. And I know, again, because... yeah, at least if you've grown up in a conservative, almost, I don't want to say prudish, but I don't know, somewhere in that vicinity of synonyms, you know, where you just don't talk about these things. You definitely don't want to think about these things, because, no, you just don't talk about them. They're embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. God's painting a picture. His absolute love for us. And it's a lover's embrace. It's a lover's embrace. It's interesting, when we were teenagers, someone can help me out here, there was a campaign almost, like, where you had these cards. I never signed one or have, but had these dating cards, and I'm going to stay pure until marriage. Always found those funny, because stay pure until marriage, no, I want to be pure after marriage as well. Like, I want to stay pure. Both before and after marriage. I want to stay pure only until marriage. But there is this almost mindset of, yeah, I want to stay pure until marriage. And then I guess I realize there's some impurity that has to happen in marriage. Otherwise, we won't have kids. It's almost the implication of it. It's like, no, actually, yes, you stay pure until marriage. You save yourself for marriage. Because sexual intimacy is only for those who are entered into covenant relationship. One man, one woman, in covenant relationship. But once there's covenant relationship, you come together physically, sexually, intimately, and that is pure. So you continue to walk in purity. And it's celebrated in Scripture. Why is it celebrated? Why did God make it that way? It's like, because that is the intimacy I want with you, my bride. That closeness. That oneness. And again, we don't become God. There's false theologies like that out there. No, no. But again, that vision that I had of the Father just so joyfully performing the marriage ceremony and Jesus staring at his bride and the Holy Spirit being the chuppah itself and even as Josh said, the singing out. And it's like the Father is performing the ceremony. Welcome into the family. Not welcome into the Godhead. No, no. But I am yours and you are mine now. I am yours, you are mine. And nothing held back. No distant hugs where patting on the back and trying to keep a little bit of distance. The picture of the Father I got in the vision was, if you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, it was like Tevye. You know? Big beard. Just jovial, laughter-filled eyes, pudgy cheeks. I'm not saying this is what God the Father looks like, because God the Father is spirit, and, you know, I'm just telling you the vision I had. And just absolutely enthralled and joy-filled. Like, welcome into the family. You're family now. I'm just embracing, you know. That's the intimacy that the Lord wants with us. It's the heart he has for us. And you can see this heart displayed in many ways. We can understand God's love for us. I think we accept it at least and understand that he sought us out to rescue us. We're in danger. We were in danger of death. We were entrapped in the snares of death. And you see this hero, God, Jesus, right? God in the flesh coming to rescue us. Go out, son, and rescue them. And we see knight in shining armor. Okay, we can accept that. We can accept that he sacrificed himself for us. Yes, okay, I can accept that. Even seeing him on the cross, I'm doing this for you, and I love you. We can come to an acceptance of that. Yeah? But what about this? I want to embrace you. Oh, I'm so in love with you. I want to hold you so close that people standing off won't be able to tell there's two people. That's how close I want to hold you. And I want to whisk you away into the honeymoon chambers. I just want to be with you. I don't want to hold anything back. Everything I have is yours. I give myself to you. Man, that's a hard one to accept. We accept that he wanted to rescue us, that he wants to marry us. And because we get all the sexual things going on in our head, and it's like, oh, that's weird. It's just the sexual reality and beauty between a husband and wife, that's a picture. That's a picture. We just don't know what to do with it, though. I guess we often think of the Lord as, no, I've rescued you. Thank you, Lord, and now I'll be off because I know you probably don't want to spend that much time with me. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'm just going to thank you very much. I really mean it. And we do. Thank you for rescuing me. Oh, you want a hug? Okay, I... And it's not because we're awkward with hugs. I think it's because we're awkward with thinking that he would actually want to embrace us. Those are some things going through my heart. Even as a person who loves hugs, who is in tune, really, with that side of life, and with affection and physical intimacy and all that. Physical intimacy with my wife, affection with my wife, affection with my kids, affection with friends. Even yesterday, I was laughing because Craig and I went golfing yesterday morning, and I took my club afterwards, took my clubs out, and I was goodbye, and I was like, yeah, it just doesn't seem right to just handshake. And he actually was the first one. Very proud of you, by the way.
I knew it was happening one way or another. You initiate, you can set the burden.
That's what happens when God starts moving in your midst and we become family. We even hug after a golf game. Maybe he was comforting and consoling me. I don't know. But to understand that, no, God actually longs to embrace us, wants to. That's the way he looks at us. Will we believe it? It's like, oh God, give us a revelation for your love for us. I go back to Ephesians chapter 4, right? And where I pray for that revelation. I pray that you would know how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of God. And yes, as individuals, he loves us as his children. And he wants to embrace his children, love on us collectively. And that's why I love gathering together. There's something different about when we gather together. It's great to worship the Lord on our own. It's great to pray on our own. It's great to take time with the Lord alone. That's really needed and good. But then there's something entirely different, at least for me, I gotta say, when we get together as a body and worship together and celebrate Him together. And I think it's the difference. Again, on my own, I approach Him as my father, as my friend, if I dare. But collectively, it's like we approach Him as His bride. That's a whole different level of intimacy. Oh Lord, reveal that to us. Reveal how much you are in love with us. Do we believe him when he says, I am my beloved's and she is mine? And where we can say, I am my beloved's and he is mine. We understand when in Ephesians, Paul's talking about a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And how he's trying to really, he's not simply giving instruction for marriage. And he makes that really clear. He's like, I'm talking about Christ and his bride. And yes, there are things that you can learn about for your marriage. And I want you to have a good marriage. But deeper than that, let's go deeper than that. It's like Jesus saying, I'm not talking about bread right now. Be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. Ooh, bread, bread, bread. I'm not talking about bread. Yes, you need to eat, but that's not what I'm talking about. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Why? Oh, so we can have a good marriage. Yes. Okay, yes. Absolutely. But I'm showing you something even deeper than that. Go deeper. Do you understand my love for you? I want you to love your wives as Christ loved the church so that you can understand my love for you. So that you can get it even better, because it's not enough to read about it, or it's not enough to hear someone preach on it. In order to be educated in the ways of God, you can't just hear it from a sermon or read it in a book. He's like, okay, you've got to live this out. I've shared this before. I knew I would understand God better as soon as I had my own kids. as soon as I had kids. It's so true. As the Bible calls me an evil father, that's what it says. It's just what it says. Luke chapter 11, right? An evil father. But man, I love my kids deeply. And I know everyone here is the same. I know every parent here is the same. We give our lives for our children. And I imagine for those parents in the room right now who or listening online or whatever, who love Jesus, love their kids deeply, but have children who don't know the Lord yet, I would imagine, like I don't know what this is like, but I would imagine you understand Paul probably better than I do, where Paul says, I could wish myself a curse for the sake, and Paul was talking about Israel, I could wish myself a curse for my brothers in Israel. I imagine as a parent, I said, man, yeah, I can see myself going there. I can see myself saying, Lord, I could wish myself a curse if it would mean salvation for my kids. That's how deep a parent's love runs. Right? But if you stop there, you're missing the main point. The main point is this: as much as you love your children, I love you more. That affection, that passion, that heartache when you're separated, that heartache when things aren't going well that you feel, God feels it more. God has feelings, you know. God has emotions. It says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. God has these intense emotions for us, longings for us. So whether it's with kids or then again back to the marriage, it's like I want you to experience it. I want you to love your spouse more and more and more. I want you to pour yourself in. The two become one flesh. I want you to just give yourself to each other. I want you to give your thoughts to each other. I want you to give your trust to each other. I want you just pour in. And as you pour in, what will happen is your love will just start just overflowing. As you follow the Lord, as you pray, as you seek, as you'll begin to find. And it's great. You'll have an awesome marriage. The more and more you say yes to the ways of the Lord, you'll have an awesome marriage. And it won't just be on the outside, it'll be on the inside. But if that's all it is, you're missing the main point. See, the main point is this. And I'm talking to myself here because I feel very deeply for Carly. I don't know if you've gotten that over the years since I've talked about us. You know, maybe you've missed that. I feel incredibly deeply for her. And not just a feelings-based love. No, it goes deeper than that. Like it goes into decisions but it's in the core of my being. And yet I miss the main point so often. God comes along and says, oh, you love Carleen, do you? Yeah, I really do. Oh, you feel for her, do you? Yeah, I really do. Oh, you just long to be with her and long to all these things. Yeah, I really do. And he looks at me and says, do you get it yet? Do you understand my love for you yet? What do you mean? I thought we were talking about me and Carleen. I'm not talking about bread. Do you get it? Oh God, that's so hard to believe. It's so hard to believe that you think of me like I think of Carly. And he's like, I don't. Because you're evil. Kevin, you're an evil dad, and you're an evil husband. He doesn't say it to push you down. Understand that. And I'm not sharing that with you. And I hope you don't see any of that on me. I'm still I'm struggling with sin. I struggle with selfishness. I struggle with pride. I struggle with arrogance. I struggle with self-seeking. I struggle with keeping records of wrong. I struggle with all those things I'm not supposed to, like, I'm struggling with all the things that are opposite of love. Praise God, I'm growing as well, but I still struggle with those things. And so God says, oh, you can feel that deeply, and you can have that deep of a love for Carlene, even though you're evil. Now take a leap and imagine my love for you. Because it's so much deeper than anything you have ever felt. It's so much more pure than anything you have ever known. And as much as you love, and I love it because there's this book, Five Love Languages. I'm sure many of us who are married have read that by Stephen Chapman. Gary Chapman. I was like, Stephen Curtis Chapman? No, that's not it. And I love it because you have all these different ways of receiving love. And then giving love. See, too often the concentration is on how I receive love rather than maybe how the person that we love receives. Right? It's like the Lord says to me, okay, so for me, my two main ones are affection and words of encouragement. That's how I receive love. Affection and words of encouragement. I love hugs. Again, I don't know if you knew that. I love hugs more than chocolate. I know. It's incredible. And it's like God says to me, just even as I'm speaking right here, right now, he says, oh, Kevin, I love hugs more than you love hugs. So if Jesus would physically manifest right now in our midst, he is here in spirit, the Holy Spirit is here, but if the Lord Jesus decided to physically manifest, and I'm just speaking from my point of view, like, you know, because we all have different, oh, he would want to embrace each one of us because he loves hugs so much. He would have a gift for each one of us. Because he loves giving gifts. That's one of the love languages in the book there. That book isn't scripture, but it's good. He would want to give us each a good gift. He would want to encourage each one of us. Pour out encouragement. See, we often think, no, if the Lord Jesus stood in front of me, he would want to tell me everything I'm doing wrong. And he would just be like, okay, we got to sit down. You're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong. And you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong. No. He's just like, oh, I want to pour out encouragement. That word that I'm especially fond of you. Someone spoke it this morning over Mel. It's like, oh, I love you. And just want to pour out encouragement. Pour out that love. Do we actually think of him that way? He would want to spend time with us. You don't realize, actually, it's so funny to me, in the years that I've been pastoring, so the last, like, 6 or 7 years between St. Anne's and here, it's hilarious to me because, especially when I had an office, like at St. Anne's, I still have an office. It's beautiful and green right now. People would come in, and I'd be in my office, and, you know, can I come in? Yeah, come on in. I don't want to take too much of your time. And not because they were looking to get away. They were really, I'm sorry I'm imposing. Like, I'm so sorry. And can we talk for a few? Absolutely, come on. Okay, and then we talk for a few minutes. And, okay, I should get going. Like, I'm so sorry for bothering you. And no, stay. If you need to go, okay. But, like, understand, we just said this to someone recently, and please, I'll speak it out here again. There is nothing I love more than just meeting with someone and just talking. Seriously, I love preaching. I love teaching. I love leading worship. On Mondays, I get to lead worship sometimes, many times. I love that. I love prayer. I love getting in the Word. All parts of, all things that are expected of a good pastor. But I love just sitting down with someone, one-on-one. I don't think I like anything better. Like as far as things that would say, you know, what should a pastor do? I love that. I absolutely love that. So never think that it's imposing. Never think you're taking up my time. If we can't get together face to face, I love phone calls. Like I seriously love it. But we sometimes think with Jesus, you know, if we came to him and go, oh Lord, can I just have a moment of your time? I know you're busy. I know you're busy keeping the whole universe together and all that. And I know there's other people that love you more that you probably want to spend time with rather than me. But like, can I just have a few minutes of your time? And we're just almost come to him as beggars. And we don't understand that when we come in the room, if you will, it's like what Candace said about the vision, that person from Bethel. Like, we don't understand that when we come near to him, and it's not to make us feel guilty or anything, but it's this place of, oh, I've missed you. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And even if someone says that, and even if we would hear Jesus saying that, we would maybe be tempted to think, oh, you're patronizing me right now. Or you're just saying that to make me feel good. Quality time is another way that people feel love. He loves spending time with us. And the thing about quality time is you can't plan for quality time. Quality time is, I've heard it said it's a mistake that happens, but I would say rather it's a byproduct of quantity time being spent together. You can't plan for quality time. It only happens when you spend quantity time together. He loves spending time with us. So I've got four service. So even then back to the prayers for healing. Oh Lord, I don't want to bother you. My requests. But if you could please, maybe, perhaps, by chance, maybe heal, please. He loves serving us, which is weird because he's God Almighty, but he loves answering the requests of his children. He loves listening to our prayers, and not just to listen, oh, yes, I love listening to your prayers because you should come to me and bow before me, you little worms. No, that's not what he does. Okay? But seriously, don't we have some of that in our head? Don't we have some of that? It's like, oh, I so want to do this. So love to do this. I know some of you love serving. I have a story that I know of. I won't share this. I know some of you love serving. And a need goes out. Can I have help with this? And some of you are just like, yeah. Yeah, I'll be right over. I'll be over as soon as I can. Yeah, I love that. All right. And it's not this, as much as you love serving, God loves serving more. God loves it when we come to him and say, oh God, can you help me? Oh, can I? Yeah! Now, it still doesn't answer the question of why aren't some healed then, or why, but that's this place of a thousand things are going on, a million things are going on that we don't understand, that we don't know. There are things in play. There are different things that God is doing. And so we just leave that up to him. But Let us not question God's heart. Let us not question His willingness. And not just willingness, even the word willingness doesn't portray it quite like, oh, I guess I'm willing. Because that's often the way we say God too, right? Okay, Lord, I'm willing. Not only is He willing, He is excited. He longs. He longs to serve, if you will. He longs to answer prayer. He loves it when we come to Him with requests. He loves it because He wants to be a part of our lives and He wants to see us live fully, abundantly. And you have to know then, when someone who loves pouring out His Spirit, pouring out healing, pouring out revelation, you got to know if God loves that. And again, because there are some among us who love that, and guess what? You love it even though you're evil. So, God, we have to know that if the Lord is someone who loves answering yes, there must be a really good reason for Him to answer no, not yet, sometimes. There has to be a really good reason for Him to say, no, not right now. Because you know His heart, His Father's heart of love, His lover's heart of love. Okay? Our husband's heart of love, Jesus, just longs to. Like everything in Him wants to say, yes, I want to heal. I want to heal Ben. I want to heal. I want to heal. I want to heal Carol right now. I just long. Can I pour out that healing? I want to heal. Because He loves to serve. So you got to know there must be a really good reason. Even our prayers, I know Lil's, one of her favorite prayers is, oh, Jesus, I want to see You. And she's so excited about, today might be the day. Today might be the day that Jesus shows Himself and manifests and comes into our midst. Ah! Even though Lil is evil, and again, I'm just Luke chapter 11 now. She can get so excited about that. Jesus is more excited about that. Do you know that Jesus is looking forward to our wedding day more than we are? When we were singing that one song, and the Father's song, and then the hoopa, the vision of the hoopa and everything, I also saw that the deep purple flag, the flag of tabernacles, just being waved. I couldn't get out of my chair because I just didn't want to lose the vision. Just signifies and is a flag of tabernacles, which is the wedding feast of Christ, the wedding feast of the Lamb. You think we're looking forward to that day? He is chomping at the bit for that day. He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. He longs for all sin to finally be destroyed. He longs for all sickness to be done with. He longs for all heartache and disappointment and discouragement to be gone. He longs for this separation to be finished. He longs for the veil to be fully 100% taken away where we see Him face to face. He longs for it far more than we do. Oh God, give us a revelation of Your love for us. Give us a revelation. And so then, may our love continue to approach. I was going to say match, but I don't think we can match his love for us, right? But may it continue to grow in us for him. May his love for us inspire our love for him. Don't believe the lies. There's too many people in the church today believing the lies. God doesn't want intimacy with us. Oh, he does. Or God is a reluctant God. He doesn't want to answer our prayers. Oh, he does. Or God doesn't want to spend time with me. Oh, he does. Or God doesn't have anything encouraging to say to me. Oh, he does. And yes, there's going to be correction too. But even that is said in such an encouraging way. Come on, stop that. It's destroying you. You can do it. I will walk you through this. I will carry you through. But may God give us deeper and deeper and deeper revelation. It's hard for me to imagine that God wants to hug me. And again, I just use those terms because it's part of how he built me in that. It's hard for me to imagine that God wants to hug me more than I want to hug my wife. And I don't mean in a spiritual metaphor kind of way. I actually mean if you walked through that door, he would want to embrace me. He would want to embrace us. I want to encourage us then. So, A, allow God to speak this revelation over you. Allow God to reveal these things. Meditate on these things. Meditate on why he has created us the way he has created us. Especially in the marriage relationship. I know that it's weird. No, allow yourself to. Wow. Be amazed by it. Be in awe of it. See in the scriptures where he speaks of his intimate love for us. Look at the different ways he has created us. And everything good that we see in us is from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Everything. So every good gift you see, every loving emotion, every loving action, every kind and gentle and joy-filled, it comes from him. It comes from his character. The seeds, those seeds were from him. He took it from him. And you wonder even then, okay, so this is just the thought that's passing through my head right now. I haven't filtered it yet. Why was Eve taken out of Adam? Why did God take Eve out of Adam? He could have just made her a dirt body, like made Adam a dirt body, and then breathed life into her the way he breathed life into Adam. Why? What picture? What's the picture? Right? Who is Adam? Who's the second Adam? Jesus. The first Adam is pointing to the second Adam, because the second Adam was before the first Adam. The reason this is going through my head right now is because what I just said about the seed, everything good in us is from God. And it's like Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before time began, and as they were creating, and as he was creating us, he made us in his image, his bride, and he takes from himself, and he makes us. It's the picture it's painting, is it not? Again, I haven't filtered this or haven't thought it all the way through, but oh my goodness. So all the love that we feel is from Him. All the joy that we feel, it's because we were taken from Him. Again, not Godhead stuff, not the cultish stuff of, you know, all that. Nah, 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 nah. It's garbage, you know. But I'm talking, we are made in His image. And everything good comes from Him. Everything good that you see in you, and I know you see it. Everything good we see in each other. Everything good we see in the world. There's still good that can be seen in the world. Not good unto salvation. It's all filthy rags when it comes to salvation. But I've shared this before. I was in Thailand, and you see this, my Buddhist neighbor, who bows down to idols. Literally bows down to idols. Has a little shrine in his house. Had a mat in front of it, and because Thailand was so hot, you know, the doors of the house would often be open. Everyone keeps their doors open, and I would walk by, and there's his doors open, and he's down on the mat in front of the idols praying. Okay? An idol worshiper. Worshiping demons, because that's what it is. He wouldn't think of it that way, but that's the reality of it. On his way to hell, if he has not turned to Jesus yet, he knows though. Praise God, he knows. He heard the gospel, he knows. But this idol worshiper, such a loving man, so kind, so gentle, so generous. Where'd those things come from? Lord. Because as the Lord was knitting him together, knitting, his name is Sanya, as the Lord was knitting Sanya together in his mother's womb, it's like he's taking out. Right? And he fashioned Sanya in his own image. And yes, that own image means, you know, body, soul, and spirit and all that, but I think it also means, like, it's like some people have said, we are created for love. Like we are hardwired. Dr. Carolyn Lee says we are hardwired for love. It's how God has made us. We're not hardwired for hatred. We're not hardwired. We're not wired for impurity. It's like God had nothing better to give than Himself, and so He gave Himself. He had no one better to design us after, like no better blueprint than Himself. So He created us in His image. He loves us so much. May we see it. So as you meditate on these things, meditate on the goodness of God you see in yourself. Understand that that's just a glimpse of the goodness of God. Ask God for revelation. But you know what? The way that revelation is going to come often, it's not going to be through a book. Although I'm not against books. Praise God for books. It's not going to be through a sermon. I'm going to keep preaching sermons, but it's not going to be through a sermon. God might use a sermon. But this revelation is going to come as He fills your heart and pours His love through you onto others, starting with your spouse, for those of us who are married, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your moms, your dads, your extended family, your neighbors. And then when you see this love pouring out of you, I ask that you pause for a second. As you see the love of God just pouring out of you, you're like, where did that come? Oh my goodness. I've had that before. I've had that many times actually. Praise God. Like, seriously, where, oh my, I can't believe the love I'm having for this person right now. Like, what is this? This is incredible. And God's like, yeah, it's from me. But again, I often have missed the point. Oh, it's from you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And God's like, oh, you missed one of the main things I wanted to say to you through it, though. What's that, Lord? I love you the same way. What you are feeling for this person, the love that you have for this person right now, how you would even just pour out your life for this person who you hardly even know right now, that's a glimpse, that's a taste of my love for you. Do you understand that? May the Lord reveal his love to us and through us. Are there any questions or comments? If you want to see God's love right now, you look at Candace looking at her daughter. Okay, not that.
This weird awkward look now.
You take time. See, you take time to look. You take time to, again, look at yourself, look at others. That's how he looks at us. Do you believe that? That's how he looks at you, Candace. And more so. Do we understand that? Okay, one last thing. One last story. I think I've shared this here. When Carlene walked down the aisle, I wept. Absolutely wept. For those of you who were at our wedding, I don't know who was at our wedding. I don't know if anyone here was at our wedding. Were you guys at our wedding? You're old enough to be at our wedding. And you guys are like us, you're old, you forget. I do not forget that. I wept for joy. I couldn't stop the tears. My best man had no idea what to do. He found some tissues, I think, with one of the groomsmen and gave them to me as I turned around. I was so overjoyed. I was so overjoyed. Do you know that that's just a fraction of how Jesus looks at us? Do you know that? Do you get that? It's just a fraction. It's just a glimpse. Lord, I pray that this would soak in. I pray that we would get it. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us for wherever we have for wherever we have thought that we love better than you love. Or that you don't love us as much as we love others. Forgive us for doubting your love. Forgive us for not receiving it well. I just get this picture up just then. Because we don't receive it often because we're so consumed with self and our own faults. Our own shortcomings. And I just keep on seeing Jesus just, usually the groom is taller than the bride. Usually not always. And I just see him lifting up the bride's chin and just look in my face. And I pray, and I ask you, open your eyes and look in his face. praise you for your love. And we worship you.
Story I heard on the radio this past week. It was about a man who had seen this woman and loved him from afar for a long time. And finally, he got the courage to approach her and court her, and they got married, but it was never the intimacy that he desired with her. She was always distant and pushing him away. He still loved her. Eventually, things got so distant between them that they decided to go to counseling and get some counseling. And over time, as finally it came out that his wife had been abused as a child and as a teenager, and then had, because of that, gone into of her own volition to that kind of lifestyle. And he had no idea. And this all came out, and she was very ashamed and very and that it came out also that she had cheated on him during her courtship. He was devastated. So when they went home from that counseling session, he didn't say anything to her, he didn't speak. And he brought her home, and he asked her to stay there. He said, "I have to go out for a drive, but I'm not leaving. I'm coming back." And he said, "Just wait for me. I just have to go out for a drive for a while." And he went out, and he went to a store, and he bought her a white nightgown. And he went home, and he asked her to put it on. And then he said to her, "I, from now on, will only see you the way Jesus sees you, as pure and white and cleansed. And I won't see any of that past, but I only see you and love you the way you are now." It just, what an amazing picture of how God sees us and how we can't sometimes accept that He loves us because we know ourselves. But because of what Christ did on the cross for us, He sees us only as pure and white.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. I'm going to just pray something because of what you just said there. And that word of shame. So, Lord, I pray shame off of us in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of shame, the accuser of the brethren. And we say no to shame. We say no to those lies. We are the forgiven. We have been forgiven by God Almighty because of Jesus. Because of His death and resurrection. How you look in the mirror is so important. And see yourself as that pure, forgiven, spotless, spotless bride. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that that shame would be replaced with absolute joy. Joy unreserved and unheld back. words from Genesis 1 come to mind, or Genesis 2, one or the other. And they were naked and unashamed. Yeah. Absolutely unashamed.